Now, this isn't your typical reading of the Christmas story. We're actually going to be in the book of John in chapter 1. So if you'll look on the slides or in your Bibles with me, I'm going to be reading from John chapter 1 from verses 1 through 18. This is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Let's stop there and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a good and loving God. We praise you together. We worship you together. God, I pray that every person here would know what it means to have a genuine faith, a real faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would work powerfully through your word, through the Bible today, to teach us, not just for our minds, but for our hearts, for our lives, so that we would be changed by your grace and truth. Be with me as I preach your word. Lord, I humble myself before you. I thank you for the privilege to speak your word. And so be with me and be with our family in Christ here so that everyone may benefit and be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've spent time together as a church over the past few weeks lighting candles of the Advent, and there's been the candle of hope and peace and joy. And today we actually finish by lighting the candle of love. And that's what we've been learning about, that through the coming of Jesus Christ, these things that the whole world would like to have, who doesn't want to have something they can hope in? Who doesn't want to have a peace in their hearts? Who doesn't want to have joy and love? These are all good things, very good things. But they are only possible through the person of Jesus Christ. I mean, true joy that lasts forever. True love that is unfailing. Hope that will not fail you or let you down. All of these things can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so for those of us here who say we believe in Jesus, what do we believe about Jesus? What do we know of him? How do we know him in our lives? And today, in the word that we've just read together, there's two things that I want to point out. So if you have your bulletins, there's a place for notes. If you want to take notes, if you're the studious type, if not, you can just continue to listen. But there are two things that I want to highlight about who Jesus Christ is, who he was and who he is and who he will be for eternity. Now, the first thing is this, divinity. Divinity, that Jesus is fully God. That's the first point that I'm going to look at. And the second aspect of who Jesus Christ is that he has humanity, that Jesus is also fully human. Okay, so we have his divinity and his humanity. So we'll start with that first aspect, that he is fully God. So what does it mean that Jesus is divine? Just simply put, he is God. We believe in God, the triune God, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one, not three separate gods, but three persons in one God whom we serve, the triune God. And so in John chapter 1, verse 1, look how it says. It says, in the beginning. Now, those words, especially to the Jewish listeners, will already draw them back to, hey, that sounds very familiar. Because it echoes, actually, the words that you find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And you see, there's this connection that is being made that Jesus being born into the world is a particular time in history, but Jesus was there from the very beginning. When the world was being formed, when it was being put into creation, Jesus Christ, the Son, was there. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, our God whom we worship, there from the beginning of time, before even time began, there he was. Now this is extremely important. In verse 3, it says that all things were made through him. All things. There's not one thing that was made that was not made through him, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. Now, the reason I say that this is so important is because there are actually false teachers who will say Jesus was a great man. They will say he did great things for people. He taught about love and sacrifice and serving others. But then they'll say, but he was not God. If there's any teacher who tries to tell you that Jesus was not divine, that he was not and is not God, then they are not teaching you the truth. There are Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, other people who claim the name of Jesus but do not believe in the true Jesus that we worship together and that we anticipate and celebrate the birth of as a family in Christ. So remember, Jesus is God. In Genesis, when God said, as he formed us, his people, humanity, he said, let us make man in our image. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So John is proclaiming in these first three verses that Jesus, in fact, is God. And so when we look at baby Jesus, you know, in a manger, when we see the displays out front, we can't just stop and think, oh, wow, what a cute and beautiful scene. We stop and think, wow, that's God become flesh. The Word become flesh. God, eternal God, who came into the world. Now, when we look in verse 4, this is what it says. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, Jesus Christ was and is the Word. And what is the Word meant for? It's to tell us something. And Jesus not only taught us something with his teaching, with his own words, but he taught us something with his life. God, the creator of the universe, humbled himself to come into his own creation to make a way for us to be reunited with him. You remember, because of sin, we were separated from the family of God. But by his grace, by his love, God, the divine, God of the universe, of all creation, comes into the world so that we could have the right to become children of God. That means all of us here, doesn't matter what your background is, you could be Chinese or Korean or African American or just about anything, from anywhere, from any background, but we can join the same family because God, the divine. Jesus Christ came into the world to make it possible. And how did he make it possible? He was the Word. He is the Word. And what he spoke loudly was that he was willing to sacrifice his life. He lived a perfect life of obedience and then gave it up for us on the cross. Now, whoever believes in him, he's made a way for us to be completely changed. Now we can be his as his children. What an awesome, awesome thing. Now, just imagine with me for a moment, if Jesus was not God, could we place our faith in him? I don't believe that we can. Even those of us here who have people that we love and that we care for, and we know they love and care for us, even in those kinds of relationships, we will fail each other. For those of us who aren't married yet, who believe that once we're married, we'll find the perfect other person and we'll never get into fights or fail each other, I'm here to tell you, you're in for a rude awakening when you get married. I hear all the chuckles from those who are married, like, yup, I failed my wife, I failed my husband before. There's no one person who will never fail us except for Jesus Christ. And a big part of that is because of his divinity, because he was fully God and yet fully man. So imagine if he was not divine, if he was not God. Imagine in the story of the disciples as the storms are raging and the disciples are scared and Jesus is just sleeping. And they go to him and say, Master, Master, don't you care about us? Wake up! Imagine if Jesus was not God, he would stand up and say, what's the problem? And he would say, stop, wind and waves. And then they would probably all drown. Because if he was not God, he could not stop the waves. He could not stop the storm. But you see, he is God. And he showed that as he stood up and said, be still. And the waves stopped. And they were safe. And they worshiped Jesus because they knew he's not just a person with a lot of good messages. He is God. Imagine if blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus and said, please, I'm blind. I can't see. Can you heal me? Imagine if Jesus was not God. And he spit on some dirt and he rubbed it over Bartimaeus' eyes. And he said, open your eyes. And Bartimaeus opened his eyes. And he still couldn't see. Imagine how wrong that would be. But Jesus is God, and he proved it again as he used dirt and formed what no other person could do. God of all creation, able to bring sight to someone who was never able to see before. Only God can do that. You see, Jesus is God. We cannot forget who he is. That is the birth that we celebrate today. Jesus Christ, fully God. Remember that. That is who he is. So what does that mean to us? As we celebrate together with our families, as we celebrate and worship together here, remember it's God come into the world. The birth of Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. Second thing I want to talk about, second aspect, is his humanity. You see, this is the part that sometimes we as believers we ignore a little bit. We say, wow, Jesus is God. Yes, I believe in him. I trust in him. But we have to remember and never leave out that Jesus Christ was fully God, but he was also fully man. Look in verse 14 again. It says that Jesus, the Word, became flesh. He literally became flesh and dwelt among us. And so again, who is the Word that became flesh? It is Jesus Christ, God, a person of the Trinity. Remember again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he was born of a virgin. God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. But when you think about how he came into the world, he didn't come into the world riding in on a cloud. He didn't say, "Here I am," and come into the world. Even in how he came into the world, he came humbly, just like any of us came into the world, through the mother's womb. And you know, when the baby was born, you know, some people probably think, oh, well, it's baby Jesus. He was probably the best baby. Probably not, okay? He probably still cried for milk. He still needed to get rest, otherwise he'd be cranky. Okay, I have a little almost two-year-old named Caleb. When he wants something, and he can't talk yet, he'll let me know. He'll yell. He'll do whatever it takes to try to communicate with me. And so even Jesus, baby Jesus, he was like you and me growing up. Never sinned, never did wrong, but fully human. Needed his mother's milk, needed to be protected and cared for, needed a blanket when he was cold, and yes, also went to the bathroom, okay? Can you imagine doing Jesus diapers, right? But that's how God showed his humility. He came into the world just like you and me. That's an amazing thing when you think about it, isn't it? In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, this is what it says. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 52. I share that because even Jesus had to grow in wisdom. You see, he was fully God, and yet in his humanity, he still learned. He still went through a process. And what I believe is that at some point, as he is studying the scriptures and doing all these things, in his humanity, he understands that he is the Son of God and that he is the Savior of the world, come into the world. You see, baby Jesus wasn't born like, "Man, I'm the Savior of the world." He humbled himself so that he could grow and be like us. That's a really interesting thing, isn't it? Now, just to kind of help clarify, how can he be fully God and yet be fully man? You know, I was thinking about that, and there's this analogy, okay, that I like to use. So, I don't know how many of you watch basketball. I don't know why, for some reason, I've been talking a lot about Michael Jordan these days. Who here knows who Michael Jordan is? Michael Jordan? Okay, most of us. Okay, maybe Jeremy Lin or Yao Ming, right? That's another, you know, better example, right? But imagine I am trying to play basketball against Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player to ever play the game of basketball. But imagine me. You know, I'm a pretty big guy, but, I mean, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. He's got skills. He's got talent. I do not have those things. But imagine I try to play him one-on-one. He would destroy me. He would beat me. I don't think I could even score one basket against Michael Jordan, because he's the best, he's the greatest of all time. But now imagine that Michael Jordan decides, hey, you know what? I'm gonna bind my hands and my feet with rope, and then we can play one-on-one. Now, if I played against that version of Michael Jordan, it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? But does that change who he is? Does that make him not Michael Jordan any longer? No, he's still Michael Jordan. He's still the greatest player of all time. But he has chosen to bind himself so that, it's essentially, it's like humbling, right? And that's what Jesus did. That's what God did when he came into the world. He's still fully God, but it's like he bound himself in the ropes of humanity. You see, he bound himself and limited himself in ways so that he could be like us, so that he can experience life like you and me. He was born into the world. He needed milk. He needed rest. He went to sleep when he was tired. He served, and when he had little energy, it still took commitment to the Lord to continue serving. He was fully God, but yes, he was fully man. You know, he helped out as a carpenter. I guarantee you there were times where he hit his thumb with a hammer. Ah! Right? And he still felt that pain. He wasn't like, well, I'm Jesus. Nothing hurts me. No. He was fully human. He experienced all the different things of life just like we do. He knew what it meant to cry. He knew what it meant to be hungry and thirsty. He knew what it meant to lose a loved one. He knew what it meant to go through temptation, though he never gave in, though he never sinned against God. You see, he experienced life, all the ups and downs of life, just like you and me. You know, I want to share a little personally. I was 17 when my father passed away. My father was also a pastor, a man of God, and someone whom to this day I still remember and respect so much in my heart. But he was only 48 when he passed away of cancer. So he died very young. And I share that because I remember the pain that I went through during that time. I still think about him, and you know, I still get sad at times that he never met Caleb, my son. He never met Esther, my wife. And I think about those things, and there's a pain in my heart. Even though I know everything is in God's hands, even though I have the peace of God, there's still emotion, right? There's still pain. Now, I share that because during that time, I remember some of my friends in high school, they tried to give me comfort. But many of them, they never experienced something like losing a father before. And so I remember one of my friends, they came to me and said, "Hey, Josh, I'm really sorry about your dad, dying. I had a dog I really loved that died once." And I wasn't angry or mad at him because he was trying to relate to me. I mean, of course, losing a dog is not the same thing as losing your father. But he was trying to connect with me in some way, the best way he knew how. And I think about that. It was still from a heart of care that he did that. And I believe that God, in his care for us, this is what he's doing in a perfect way. Him coming into the world, though being fully God still, binding himself with the ropes of humanity, he's saying, "I want you to know, I know what you're going through. I want you to know that the deepest pains in your heart, the deepest longings in your heart, the joys and the lows and all these things in life that you may go through, I know what you're going through. I can relate to you. I know your heart. I've experienced humanity." And so he relates to us. He shows us that he knows us. He wants us to know that he dwelt among us. I mean, the more I think about that, sometimes the more amazing it is. God of the world wanted to dwell among us? It's amazing. Those of us who are in school, right? Sometimes there's people that we don't want to hang out with because we think we're too cool for them or we're too good for them. Or maybe if we're smarter and we're in the AP classes or the honors classes, we don't want to hang out with those low, regular classes. What? I don't want to hang out. We know what it's like to think we're higher than other people. Oh, you only have one degree? Oh, I don't know. But God of the world, God of the universe, didn't look at us and say, "These are the ones I created. I'm not going to hang out with them." He said, "These are the ones I created. I want to go down and show them my love. I want to show them what they mean to me, each one of them." And my hope and prayer is that you see that and that you feel that and you understand that, that Jesus, as we celebrate Christmas, it's like saying Jesus cares so much for you that he came to be with you. That's an invitation. Jesus coming into the world is inviting you to know him. Maybe some of us here, sometimes Christmas and Easter Those are two of the times where a lot of us that maybe haven't been out to church in a while, we come back to church to be with our families and different people. And I'm not here to judge you by any means. I thank God that you're here. If this is your first time in church in a very long time, I thank God that you're here and that you have family members, maybe a parents or grandparents, who love you so much and they still want you to know who Jesus is. They want you to know and believe. And I may not have met you personally yet, but I know my God who loves me and who loves our church, all the families represented here. I know that he wants each of you to know that he dwelt among us. He lived life like you and me. And then he showed once and for all on the cross what it means to give sacrificially in love. And he's saying, won't you believe in me? Won't you place your faith in me? Verse 10, as we look in verse 10, it says that he came to the world which he had created, but it says the world did not know him. You see, Jesus is God, and even though he comes into creation, the sad reality is that there are those who rejected him. There are those who said, no, I don't believe that you are the Son of God. I don't believe in the things that you are teaching. In verse 11, it says that he came to his own people, and the people did not receive him. I mean, can you just imagine that? Those who you love, you go to them with your love and with everything that you can to show them who you are, and they turn away from you. They reject you. You see, even in that, Jesus knows what we experience at times. He experienced rejection, and rejection even from his own people. This Christmas season, we have an opportunity. We have a decision to make. We can either reject him or receive him. There's no other decision that you can make. You either reject who he is, you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, fully man and fully God, who came into the world to be the Savior of the world. You either reject that and say, I don't want to have anything to do with this nonsense, or you open up your heart and you humble yourself and you receive him. And my prayer, our prayer here at CCC, is that you will all receive him. That you will all know the love and hope and joy and peace in your life that can only come through Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives grace upon grace. Grace upon grace, which means we don't deserve it. Maybe the last time you were in church was last Christmas. And sometimes we might think, well, I haven't gone to church enough. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to receive Jesus. No, Jesus says at any time, if you repent and turn to him and say, I believe in who you are and what you've done on the cross in your death and resurrection, then you have the right to become a child of God by what he has done. Let's remember who Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus. He extends the same invitation that he did then as he does now. It's a reminder, if you're already a believer of Jesus Christ, remember him coming into the world. It's not just a cute, beautiful scene. It was with a purpose, and it was the purpose that you might know him. If you are not a believer of Jesus Christ, I challenge you during this Christmas season, reflect on your life. Reflect on the things that you've been finding your hope and joy and peace and all these different things in. And ask yourself, will the things in this world that I've been holding on to for these things, will it actually succeed? Or maybe we've already felt that the things of this world, they fail us when it comes to wanting these things. It is only Christ, fully God, fully man, who can secure eternal hope, eternal peace, eternal joy, and a love that never fails. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you believe it, you profess it, and you believe it in your heart, then you will be saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's continue to share the love of God, reflect on His love in our lives. And for those of us who are not yet brothers and sisters in Christ, let us think about Christmas in a different way, not just as a holiday, time for presents and family, but a time that we can see who Christmas is all about. The Word become flesh, the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Just want to give one moment for you to pray on your own, even just for a minute. What is your belief? What is your faith? Do you believe what I've just preached about in the Word of God? The God of the universe came into this world in the form of a helpless baby, and that He lived His life and gave His life so that you, by grace through faith, can be saved. Do you believe that? If you do, praise God. Let's thank God right now. And just for a minute, just pray and thank God that He did this so that we might be saved and be called children of God. If you're not a believer, I'm so thankful that you are here to worship with us together. You too can ask of God, God, I don't really believe in You and this whole Christmas story, but I want to know if there's a greater purpose in this life. I want to know what true hope and true joy and peace really is. And maybe God wants to speak to you right now because you're going through something in life and you have no idea why you're going through it. Or maybe something that you placed your hope in has failed you, utterly failed you. And so now you don't know what you want to do anymore. God is saying right now, look at the baby Jesus. Look at the person of Christ. Through Him, you can have a hope that will never fail you. Through Him, you can have a peace that lasts forever. So would you just pray and say, God, I do want to know You more. Help me to learn more about Jesus. And if you want to believe in Him, at any time, the invitation is open. That's the awesome grace of God. So just take 1 minute to pray, and then I'll close us. Pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for Your Word. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. But as we know in Your Word, You will come again. And when You come again, You will not come in the form of a helpless baby. You will come as a warrior, leading His people into eternity together. I pray that each of us here we'll be right there following You, God. God, I pray for every person here. May we know You in Your divinity and in Your humanity. May we see that it is only through You that salvation was made possible. It is only through You that we can have a true hope that lasts, that we can have a true joy that is eternal, no matter what the circumstances may be. Let us see You that gives the ultimate picture of love, because God, You are love, and You gave Yourself for us upon the cross. Lord, we celebrate together with You this day, and we thank You, and we're joyful because of who You are. In Your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.